Hello, everyone. Hello. Hi, everyone. How's everyone doing? Good. Welcome to Freedom River Outreach. And if you're returning, welcome back. If you're new here, welcome. So we're going to start with our fro-announcements because we don't just do announcements because we're special. So here's our fro-announcements for this week. Okay, so Living Free class. We're on week 5. That's coming up on Tuesday. And, you know, if you've missed it before, it's still okay. You can still come and join in. Basically, it's a course that helps you go deeper and to recognize certain issues that might be arising or certain patterns in your life that you've realized. And basically, we pray through it collectively and we start walking in freedom. And it's really awesome, guys. There's a Living Free Youth as well for teenagers, led by our lovely Galia on the organ over there. So, again, it's never too late. So if you have any teenagers who would like to join, go see her after church, and she'll get you sorted. Cool. Are you still with me? Yeah. Okay, cool. Just checking. So this coming Saturday, there is the Women's Bible Study or Fellowship meeting on Saturday. And that starts at 9:30 a.m. Sorry, not p.m., a.m. And afterwards, you'll have a chance to join with the other men to go on the hotel outreach, which is the neighborhood kind of outreach at 11:30. So please, ladies, come, be blessed, and bless. Last slide is Women's Wednesday Bible Study. So this is has just started not too long ago, and they meet every Wednesday at 9:30 at Starbucks on 106th and Pacific. I have no idea where that is, but I'm sure you can probably put it into your Google Maps and search for it. All ladies are welcome. See Kathy or Marsha if you have any questions. And as you can see, Kathy or Marsha are not here today, but they will be back next week. Now, everyone repeat after me. I'm sorry. Okay, so that means Marsha's movie night. MMN. So that is today after church. Who's excited? Awesome. So there's going to be hot dogs and popcorn. And it's going to be an awesome movie. I hear that you should bring some like napkins and tissues to wipe your tears. I know I've got mine stashed in my pocket. So yeah, it's going to be an awesome time. And lastly... Okay, lastly, so if you can see, we are on Sunday. There's movie after church. Yeah. And so for the next 3 Tuesdays, there's going to be Living Free at 6:30 p.m. Okay? So the last, the last one is going to be at the end of this month. So, you know, it's never too late to join, so please come along. See what it's about, even. Thursday, we have Food Bank Revival Prayer. Now, that is from 5 to 6 p.m. And we're just praying for revival, not just in our lives, in our community, in our families, in our country, and everything above and beyond. Okay? So that's at 5 to 6 p.m., so you don't have to be here at 5 a.m. And, we're just going to pray together. And there's a video coming up.
to take the Lord's Supper communion together as a church family. I just wanted to remind all of us, it's the Lord's command to remember him during this event. And I have a couple things that I just want all of us to be reminded of. And when he break the cup, when he break the bread and share the cup and gave it to his disciples, he said, "This is my body broken for you, and this is my blood shed for you." And I was thinking just a moment ago, what was it that he wants us to remember? Whatever he accomplished at the cross, the walk, his life, especially when he said, "This is my body broken for you." Isaiah 53 says, "He was stricken for our iniquities," right? By his stripes, we are healed. Jesus did not have to go through all the scourging, all the Romans whipping posts. He didn't have to go through all that. You know, he could have just came to today's world, right, and in the 21st century, and chose to be executed on maybe by a gun, or he still would have saved all the world because he's a righteous man. But no, he chose to be born at the AD, at that time when he was born, and chose to go through all the hardships, the one of the worst execution ever happened in the history of the entire world. He went through all the scourging, all the suffering, all those humiliations, spitting at. Why would he go through? Because of our iniquities, because of our sins, because of our sufferings. So we need to remember that. You're suffering today? You think your life is afflicted? Are you going through difficult times in your life? Are you perhaps, maybe you had a visit from your doctors and your doctor saying thing or two about your life? Remember this, your life, God has a final say, just like we sang on it, right? Cross has a final word. Cross has a final word. What does it say? Because your afflictions, your iniquities, your suffering, your sickness is nailed on that cross. Jesus Christ broke his body for you. Jesus Christ shed his blood for you and me. And the only thing that we need to partake this communion is that you needed to place your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Then you can participate this communion service. If you haven't, don't worry, we have a chance. Can we all close your eyes? Let's give it people, I don't want to embarrass any of us. If you have never done this, then you can just follow this simple prayer. You want to do this, I'm not asking you to just to do it to participate on the Lord's Supper, but if you want to, receive Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you want to have him taken away all your suffering, all your iniquities, all your sins, then this is an opportunity for you. You can follow this simple prayer. Your amazing life waits as a Christian. Follow, repeat after me if you want to do that. If you're ready, you're ready to accept Jesus Christ. If you've never done this, follow this prayer. Dear Jesus, Lord Jesus, Christian, let's help each other out. Dear Jesus, I accept you. You're my Savior. I receive you. You're the Lord of my life. I receive the work of Calvary. I know you died for me. Your cross, your suffering is for me, for my sins. for my iniquities. Thank you for forgiveness. I receive you. You're my Savior, my Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you said this prayer, then you're a Christian. Let's do this. Let this communion. You can line up here. You can line up here. Let's participate.
So, as we were doing worship and as we transitioned into the message, I feel as some feel like they've bought into a relationship with God that they didn't know that they were getting into. That they assume just because you accept the Lord that everything was going to be peachy from that point on and that life was going to be good, right? But we quickly realize as believers, even scripture tells us there's a season for everything. In all things, there's a season. There's a season to mourn. So if you didn't know, you're going to mourn as a believer. There's a season to stand up and fight for who you are. There's a season to stay back and not use your mouth at all. There's a time that you're going to move and a time that you're going to be patient and wait for the Lord. But in all those things, just remember where God got you. One of the statements that I've heard this last few weeks or last month or so was somebody stating, why was my life better when before I had the Lord? It seems like when I got God, something happened and my life became worse or something like that. I forget the actual thing. But the Lord was speaking and I just felt this ache in my heart and saying, if God didn't find you where he found you, you would be going through what you're going through anyways without God. So if you're feeling that way today, because before we became believers, we didn't have a reason to be good, right? We didn't have a reason. We were slaves to sin. So we didn't have a purpose or a reason to do good. We have no obligation. But now that we accept the Lord and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, things just don't seem right or don't feel right when you're doing certain things. That struggle that you feel is a good struggle to have. I remember playing football, and I was just so aggravated with this coach one day, and I go, Coach, why do you keep on yelling at me, right? And he says, the day that I stop yelling at you is the day that you have to worry. Because I can see so much in you that when I stop to speak and when I stop saying anything, that's when you need to worry. So if you're here today and you're feeling the struggle to do what's right and wrong, enjoy the struggle. Enjoy the struggle that the Lord is still speaking to you and saying, hey, what you're doing is wrong. Yeah. The day that the Lord stops to speak to a certain sin or a certain place and says, and you start to feel like it's okay, that's the day that you need to realize and ask yourself, how do I get myself back to God? But we all go through things, guys. All of us are going through something. I know every single one of us probably has something pressing or some other kind of issue. That is not the Lord hating you. It's not the Lord. The Lord is not some kind of grown-up kid with a magnifying glass with little ants trying to run around, burn them or anything like that, right? That's not who God is. And I feel sometimes we feel that way. We feel like God is after us, that he's chasing us down, and he's counting all of our sins, and he's counting all of our problems and all of our things that we're doing wrong, and he wants us to go to hell. That is not true. God doesn't want that. God doesn't want any of that for our lives. He doesn't want us to count our wrongs, and he doesn't want us to do those things. He wants us to repent of them, but he wants us to be able to say, the Lord, I'm here and I'm back, God. Now, it's true that where the Lord is, there has to be holiness. There has to be a right heart and a right mind and repentance. But God doesn't hold that against you. As soon as you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm here. God, I repent of the things that I've done. I repent of where I've walked to and how far I've gone away from you. But I repent today. The Lord is waiting, his arms are open, and he's calling you back. So Lord, I just pray, God, right now, Lord, for all the struggles that we may face and we may seem to have, God. And everything that we're going through, Jesus, I just pray that we would feel your grace in our lives today, God. That we would feel your peace over our hearts, God, over our minds, God. Over the sleepless nights and the struggles that we may have, God, I just pray your grace over those nights, God. I pray your grace over the times that we catch ourselves in the middle of something we shouldn't be in, God. But we repent, God, and come back to you, Lord. So I just pray against all condemnation. Lord, for there's no condemnation for those who are righteous, God. There's no condemnation, God. When we release our past sins to you, Lord, and give up and give in to you, God, we're free, Lord. And so I just pray for freedom over our hearts and over our minds, God. True freedom, Lord, not something that we're waiting to get back into chains for some reason or we're waiting for you to put us back into bondage. Lord, that's not who you are, God. And so I just pray against that thought of you having us under bondage or some kind of slavery or some kind of sin thing, whatever it is, God. I just pray that we would feel your grace, God, and the freedom and the chains breaking right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray for chains to be broken, Lord. Chains that we've gotten used to. Chains that maybe not feel too heavy. Lord, I break those off right now in Jesus' name. I pray for things, Lord, like our bodies that we've gotten used to, that we say, oh, this is going to hurt for the rest of my life. I rebuke that now in the name of Jesus, Lord. God, I pray that tomorrow when we wake up, we will wake up anew, God. We will wake up afresh, God, and our bodies will be made new in Jesus' name, God. Lord, I pray for those healings that we've been seeking for and wanting for, God, and even diagnosed over us by the doctors. God, I just rebuke that now in the name of Jesus, God. I pray that relationships would come back together the way that you call them to be, God. I pray for fathers and sons and daughters and mothers and just all those things to be healed right now in the name of Jesus, God. For relationships between brothers and sisters, God. For relationships with cousins. God, I just pray for all these relationships that we may have in our lives that we feel that we've gone too far, burned bridges. God, I just pray that we would see that you built a new bridge, God. The bridges that we knew before are not even as good as the bridges that you brought today, God. So I just pray that you would bring that kind of healing to us today, God, that we would be touched by the Holy Spirit, God, that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name, God, that you would fill us, God. Let us walk out of these doors today different than how we walked in today, God. Let us not be stuck in old ways, God, in old chains, God. Let us push those things off in Jesus' name, God. Let us be free of all that garbage, God. And Lord, I just pray for the message today, God. I pray for Pastor Michael, Lord, that you would bless him, Lord. Bless him for his time that he's given to us today, God. Bless him for the word that he's going to speak over us today, God. Lord, that you would fill his life with many things that even he have never even expected before, God. Things that are far beyond his own imagination, God. Things that you've called for his life, Lord. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we have actually a testimony of healing that I think Samuel wanted to give, so let's go ahead and do that really quick. What's that? Oh, offering. I'm sorry, guys. Let's do that. As he's giving his testimony, let's do the offering as well. Let's go ahead and go. I almost skipped over all that. So let's go ahead and bring the offering up. Again, Lord, I just pray for the offering, Lord. I pray that you would bless it, God, that you would bring just your provision over it, Lord, in any way that you see fit, Lord. And I just pray that as a giving heart gives, God, that you would bless them with even more, Lord, and that you would bless it abundance fold, God. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I know Samuel wanted to give a word of testimony today. And so let's go ahead and listen as we pass the offering around.
How you guys doing? So the message today was about healing and about God's word and about having faith. Well, and bringing people back. And you know what? I couldn't bring back myself, man. And it's like I kept on just walking both sides of the fence out there. I lost my lawsuit. I had was sitting on that. Wouldn't work. Just slacking. I'm like, man. And I said, God, man, I'm done, man. You got to help me, man. You know, what's going on? Here's this. I'm riding down 6th Avenue, 40 miles an hour on a longboard. I hit a construction site. Broke my arm. Lucky I'm alive. I jumped up. Oh, my God. Well, went to the hospital. Got a cast up my arm. I come in here last Sunday. I had 8 days with that cast on. They told me you can have to see an orthopedic for to do some working out and stuff to work my arm back in. It was so swollen, my hand was so swollen, they couldn't even see the break. I came here last Sunday, I got prayed for. And I'm like, man, what's up? Started stretching my arm like this is out of my cast. I went home, took the cast off, man. And my arm's got nothing wrong. I mean, that's okay. I got paperwork that says Vicodin, pain pills, 3 weeks, orthopedic. I'm like, no. And I'm like, God, I need a job. I need you to help me, man. I got my arm healed overnight. Just like that, I'm down doing push-ups, 100 a set. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm stronger than I was before I messed up. I said, what's going on with that? Got me a job in Milgard, start Tuesday. Amen. I mean, man, and I mean, I was out there walking that side. These guys prayed me in. So powerful. Will and Sean were praying so hard for me to make it back in here today. And they said, I wouldn't walk in the doors right now. I was so up at 7 o'clock in the morning, I had to get her. When I walked in the door, they looked at the door. It was the same time they prayed, the same word. I walked in right on their cue. Amen. That is faith, and that's amazing. I just pray that we all walk in that same measure of faith and know that this church is anointed. Yeah. I'm telling you, and God ain't done with this yet. You know what I'm saying? He ain't done with me. Thank you.
All right, let's pray for Samuel real quick. Thank you for the testimony. Lord, it's so great to hear that you're working in a mighty way in people's lives. It's refreshing to see. Sometimes, Father, when we don't see what's going on, when we don't hear that you are at work, sometimes we lose faith. So we get distracted, we get discouraged. Father, thank you for the refreshment. Thank you for the reminder that you are still at work. You're always at work, and you never left us. You never abandoned us. You never forsaken us. Thank you. I pray in the name of Jesus, the lives of Samuel, Father, that you will magnify his life, that you'll pour out your blessing, and from top of his head to the bottom of his feet, Father, fill him with the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that his life will be totally transformed, that he himself would not even recognize. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we glorify and give all these thanks to. And all God's people say, amen. 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 Thank you. All right. Okay. Amen. Amen. All right. It's always great to see and hear that God is at work. And today, we are going over the chapter 18. I was entire chapter in 18, actually. And I was really struggled over because there's so much in chapter 18, and I've decided I'm just going to have to give a message on the portion of the chapter 18, not the entirety, because, you know, as any good preacher or any preacher of the word, I like to go over everything. If I can, I'll just go over every verses and just really want to talk about what a great thing God has done in Apostle Paul's life. And if you just remember the Paul's missionary journeys, he had three, right? He had three, and then last journey was a trip to Rome, and where he got beheaded and executed and martyred, died of martyrdom there, right? So before we just get into the chapter 18 of Acts, and let's just pray for real quick, ask Holy Spirit and invite into on all of our hearts. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, come, fill us. God, we need you in this place. We need you in our lives. We need you in this church, in our thoughts, in our minds, in our hearts. And all the works of demons, I bind all of that in the name of Jesus. You have no place here. You are a trespasser. Yes. Get out in the name of Jesus. Yes. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let your word be magnified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, the first missionary journey was from chapter 13 through 15. Second was 15:36 through 18:22, which is today, right? This today's portion. So far, we covered the first missionary journeys. And then remember the second missionary journey went and after Paul and Barnabas had a split. Remember that? If you don't, I'll remind you a little bit. All right. The third missionary journey starts from the chapter 18 and all the way to verse 20, chapter 21 through 17, and journey to Rome. We read about it, chapter 27 and 28. All right. Colossians 1:28, it says, Christ whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So this is kind of what Apostle Paul's life all entails. He wanted to warn every man. He wanted to go out there and just present Christ to everyone. He was on fire, just like, you remember we read about it, how he persecuted churches, and he really had all the Christian captive, and he really killed a lot of people. But when he realized he was being fooled, he was lied to, his attitude changed, right? He brought that zeal and passion for Christ, and then he's living, and we're going to see him, we're going to cover that. And Paul, in verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, after these things, he left Athens and went to Corinth. And then, let's just stop there. And he's at Corinth, right? And Corinth was a city of sins and debauchery. And everywhere, there were, and now remember that Paul was in different places, and so far, he was in Galatia, he was in Troas, he went over to Achaia. If you're not familiar with the names, don't worry about it. I'm just describing the cities that he went to, and up to the first missionary journeys, and he went through all these cities and meeting different people, winning different people to the Lord, right? And there was transformation, there were Christians, a new birth began, and there were some place. Remember last week, Pastor John talked about Paul was in Berea. Remember Berea? Berea was, what kind of place was Berea? Berea, there were Jews who were open-minded about the word, and they were into the word and trying to find out what Paul was saying, and Paul got really excited, and right, they were really getting into what Paul was preaching, and they were converted, right? They were very intellectual, they were philosophers, they were people, not really violent cities, but they were very intellectual. You know how those know-it-all kind of people, you know? You like to talk to those kind of people? Wait, like, try your teenager sometime. You know, you try to explain something to teenagers. Oh, Mom, I already know that. And I was so excited to share some thoughts, and when teenager says, I already know. And it's like, all right, why am I wasting my time talking to you, right? Right. And these days, not even teenager. These days happens like 7, 8-year-olds, you know? Anyway, those kind of cities that Paul went to, but now it's in Corinth. Corinth was a different city altogether. I mean, these people were back in Athens, back in those days, those places were a lot of intellectual, but people were angry about the message, right, that Paul was preaching. But Corinth was totally different. There were idol worshiping everywhere, and there were a city, the temple of, I forget the name, what was it? Anyway, one of the temples, there were 1,000 priestesses. So in the name of worship and religion, there were 1,000 priestesses that it was actually prostitute. There were legal way of justifying, you know, having sex with another woman. It was like a legal way of prostitution. So they were all sold out for all this physical pleasure everywhere. They were corrupt every level. Corinth was like that. So Paul got to this place, and he went through like thousands of miles. He went through, talked to so many people, and then he came to this place, and his sin everywhere. And it really drives him really off the wall. And interestingly enough, I was done the Google search on Sin City. I was kind of curious what Google has to say about Sin City. And believe it or not, there were like 12 to 15 sin cities in the United States, and there were a lot of sin cities in all the world. They had a Wikipedia version. I mean, they had if you type in Sin City, and you can do it right now if you want to, but you know, I'd advise you not to, because we got to focus on the message. You know, Sin City is really talking about that. I thought when I was trying to think about Sin City, Las Vegas, right? I thought that was because if you mention Sin City, that's Las Vegas. But it's not. There were different cities in all different places. And Corinth was like that. And in fact, korinthiazomai is a Greek word. It means practice fornication. So it literally, korinthiazomai means, literally, it means act like people of Corinth. And that word became practice fornication. See, that's how bad it was in Corinth. So, and Paul wrote Romans from this city, and also 1st and 2nd Thessalonians from this city. So, and he's writing Romans, remember, he's watching all this thing going on. If you ever joined us with the Romans studies, and remember what was in the first chapter of Romans? It's a list of all the sins, right? All the debaucheries, and Paul lists those things. And this is what it says, Romans 1:24, he says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." So Paul is writing this in Corinth, as he's watching all this debauchery going on, and he's writing chapter 1 of Romans. So you can kind of imagine and understand. So this is, and we went over this, and red is the first missionary journeys, and second, and this blue is the second missionary journey. He went here, Syria and Antioch, went through Tarsus, Derbe, and this is Galatia right here, and he went to Troas. Remember, he had a vision at night. He was trying to get to Asia right here, but Holy Spirit of God prevent him not to go to Asia. But he saw the vision from Macedonian men, come help us. So he got that vision from Troas. He went over here, and last week we saw the Berea, right? And then he came all the way here in Corinth, Athens here and Corinth over here. So, and this is Google Map, by the way, and I just took out, looks the same way, isn't it, from the biblical time and today's time, but just different names right here. Here is Turkey, Galatia with Ankara, right? Istanbul right here, right? Bulgaria over here, and this is Greece, Athens, this is Greece right there. If you zoom in, then it's what it says here, Athens, Corinth, right? See, Corinth is a strategic place where it's surrounded by all this ocean here and here. So a lot of trade was coming into Corinth. There was a lot of selling, you know, different products. And so Corinth was a very popular place. People had money. There were a lot of trade was going on. Then also debauchery was going on. That's the Corinth. Acts 18. All right, with that thoughts in your mind, by the way, this has been background and sort of like introduction of this chapter 18. With that thought in mind, let's get into the word. It says, "After these things, he left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native Pontus, having recently to come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, he came to them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working. For by trade, they were tent makers. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to Jews that Jesus was the Christ." All right, so that's first, we'll get back to this. And he's in Corinth, Paul is in Corinth, but he's exhausted. He's very tired. And you can probably understand that, because when he got to Corinth, by on foot, he traveled 1,500 to 1,700 miles. Can you think of the 1,500 miles? From Seattle to California is how many miles? Los Angeles. It's like 17-hour driving, right? Believe it or not, it's only 1,200 miles. If you were to go to Los Angeles on foot, you know, by backpack, Unford, how long do you think it'll take? Yeah. But you know, Paul is in Corinth, and he's very, not only probably physically exhausted, but, you know, everywhere he went, and he was very tired, and we can understand it from when he was writing to the people in Corinthians after he built a church there. He was explaining them, and he was telling them about how weak he was. Remember, in 2 Corinthians, Paul was saying, you know, I asked God to remove the sickness that was in my body 3 times. And what did God say? My strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Right? Remember? That's where God was saying to Paul. So in other words, Paul was probably, had his illness, whatever the illness he had, he was probably flaring up. He was probably having trouble with it. But he was tired. Not only that, he remember the second missionary journey started, and Paul and Barnabas split off. You know, right? Barnabas went to the one place, and Paul and Silas went to another place. It started sour note, but God increased it. God blessed them both, right? And there were a lot of converts coming in. The ministry was being blessed. And 1 Corinthians 2:3. And because people are saying, I've heard some people say, how do you know Paul is tired? Well, one of these things, because it doesn't say in chapter 18 he was tired. It says, 1 Corinthians 2:3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He's writing to the church at Corinthian churches. He said, when I was with you, I was trembling. I was in fear. I was weak. And 1 Thessalonians, which Paul was writing from Corinth, it's 3:7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Right? So you kind of understand when he's writing this, his heart is coming out, right? His current situation is coming out. Hey, look, you know, I'm sick, and I am really distressed, I'm depressed. So Paul is down and out. Paul, great man of God, who, you know, when we read about him in all his books, all his letters, we think he's never tired, we think he's never depressed. Depression? Apostle Paul? Never. But here, he's depressed. He's here down and out. He's lonely, by the way. He's by himself. He left Silas there, and Timothy is not with him. He's by himself, working, right? Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians and Romans from the Corinth. And here, the second missionary journey. I wanted to go over what Paul went through so far in second missionary journey, right? He split with Barnabas. Galatia, he met with Timothy. Macedonia, Luke joined Paul and Silas, Timothy and Luke become the team. Philippi, he met with Lydia. Remember that she was seller of purple. And persecution began. He got in jail. He was thrown in jail and was beaten. But Paul and Silas, what did he do? He was praising in jail, right, didn't he? He was praising in jail, and then the earthquake and all the doors were open. The jailer thought everybody escaped. He was trying to commit suicide. And Paul and Silas said, we are all here. Don't hurt yourself, right? And jailer said, what did he say? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? That word, right? The Philippian church began. He came to know him and his household came to know the Christ. And Lydia and the jailer. And so all this thing began, right? Thessalonica, God bless. People believed and saved more. But more persecution by Jews. And Paul had to fled for their life. And Berea, last week, remember, intellectual seekers, angry Jews from Thessalonica. By the way, it's about 55 to 60 miles from Thessalonica to Berea. People who persecuted Paul, they formed a mob, and they came to really, you know, like hurt Paul 55 miles on foot. Can you imagine that? Just to hurt Paul, they travel,
50 to 60 miles on foot. I wonder how long that take. How long do you think it'll take to travel 60 miles? What's 60 miles from here? From like Tacoma to, let's see, Seattle, maybe. Is that 60 miles? No, that's like 40 miles, right? But 40 miles, maybe a little bit more. Maybe to Everett, maybe. From here to Everett on foot. On foot. Can you imagine that? And people, the angry Jews, they came to really hurt Paul. And Paul was weary, weak, depressed. First missionary journey, he traveled 3,000 miles. Second missionary journey, he traveled another 3,000. So altogether, in his lifetime, Apostle Paul traveled 10,000 miles on foot. Well, let me just let that sink in for a second. You know how far 3,000 miles is? From Miami to Seattle, it's 3,200 miles. Can you imagine walking from Miami to Seattle? Maybe it'll take my lifetime to do that. You know, you wouldn't even try. So Paul is here, and just by doing that, will be physically tired, but he's being persecuted, he's being chased down, he's being angry mob, he's been in jail, he's been beaten at, right? And he's alone. See, he's alone. So God comes. Isn't that great? God comes when you're weak and weary. God understands your infirmities, in our weaknesses. He understands it. We serve great God, right? And he brings Aquila to encourage and strengthen Paul. Verse 2, he says, he found a Jew named Aquila. And you know, remember, he's alone, right? So what does he do? He works. And I can really share you a lot of, there are a lot of verses where Paul worked everywhere he went. He worked. He's a tent maker, right? And while he was working, making a tent, he met a Jew named Aquila and Priscilla, his wife Priscilla. And because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, he came to them. And because he was the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. So here's Paul, really tired, and he was weary, depressed, and he was trying to make a living. He should make some money. Trying to make tent, and lo and behold, there's a Christian he met, right? Christian. And how do I know they were Christian? Because Aquila and Priscilla, nowhere in the Bible said Paul, you know, led them to the Lord. Paul baptized them. There's not a single word says in any of the portions. So we have to assume they were already saved. My guess is when Peter preached and they were 3,000 people came to the Lord, you know, come to understanding, and they came to the family of God, right? Remember? 3,000 were saved and 5,000 were saved, but not everybody were among from the region, right? They were a lot of from different places to do what? To worship God, right? To make sacrifices at that time. They were saved, right? So they went back to the spread out of diaspora, and they probably, that's how the Roman churches started. These are most of the theologians guess how the Roman church, that even Paul didn't even start it, they were already there. So probably Aquila and Priscilla was one of them. And is there any luck by chance of meeting somebody that great, that partnering with Paul? Is there by just accident? No, it's by provision. It's God provided them this wonderful meeting with Paul. They were, and then they were same trade. You know, they were doing the same tent making. What are the chances of that? Is it an accident? Same chance that the world is made by Big Bang Theory. It's just bang, the world began. This sophisticated, this wonderful. Anyway, that's another story.
Anyway, Paul works hard for living. He did not ask for the free meal. He worked everywhere. And this really encouraged me and personally because, I work for a living. I work full time, right? My wife and I, we have a dog grooming business. And sometimes I say my wife is doing so much cutting. I'm her assistant. I bathe the dog and I do pick that up. Then I go pick it up and bring that in. I go bring that in. And that's what I do actually for most of the week. But when we work for a living, right? And some people, and I know some pastors. There are so many pastors these days. But some pastors, when I was doing the ministry of the Grace All Nations Church, I was asked by people, "I want to join your ministry. I want to become your staff." And another word meaning is they are looking for a job. Then they ask, "How much do you think you'll pay?" If you want to, my response might be is one like this: if you'd like to be part of our ministry, I suggest you start a ministry. Right? When you start a ministry, when you work hard, right, and provide it for your family, when God sees that, He will provide you your need. He will provide when you are ready for the full-time ministry and do nothing but the ministry. That's God's decision, not ours, right? And a lot of times us who are in the ministry, they don't see that yet. But that's how God works. I know these days a lot of ministry, Christian ministry, is like getting a job. And I was trying to find youth minister, the person who would minister to the teenagers, to the young people. What is really hard to find somebody who had a heart for the people, young people. But every youth ministers that I found, first question is, how much do you pay? How much do you pay? I said, I can't pay much. I can probably pay your gas salary or something like that. No, I have a family. They're probably wonderful people, right? But this is how Paul did it. And verse 4, he said he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greek. Here, I looked at word of. He was reasoning. You think that would be the past tense. He was reasoning, right? But it's imperfect tense, which means in Greek, if you are a student of Greek, imperfect tense meaning is continual action in the past. In other words, every Sabbath, it says there's a reason why he says every Sabbath. Every Sabbath means he cannot do this ministry during the weekdays. He could only do the ministry on the Sabbath when he go to synagogue, when he sit down with Jews, and he will tell the people about Jesus Christ. He did that every Saturday, every Sabbath. Reasoning, continual. That's what he was doing. And there was so many, because of this tent making, today's world, there were so many tent maker ministry out there. When you type in tent makers in Google, you will see hundreds of ministry like that. This is inspired by this, tent making, right? That was just a free thing. And Aquila and Priscilla become really important partner with Paul's ministry. And everywhere else, another thing, ladies, this is for you. This chapter 18 of Acts, where Aquila's name is mentioned first, Aquila and Priscilla. But almost everywhere else, even towards the end of the chapter 18, Priscilla's name is mentioned first. Priscilla and Aquila. And Romans 16, say hello to Prisca and Aquila. Prisca is another name for Priscilla. So probably a lot of theologians think it's because of her spirituality. In other words, Priscilla was probably had a better faith than Aquila. In other words, probably more
better student of the word. Maybe she was more passionate, but, or in other words, she might be a nobility of Romans. We don't know where Priscilla, you know, whether she's Jew or Roman. We don't know. There's no record of anywhere. But we think, a lot of us think, that because of our spirituality. And it's a blessing because as Priscilla and Aquila is mentioned, she's becoming like a pastor of the church. And Romans 16:3 says, greet Prisca and Aquila, see, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who, listen to this, for my life, what does it say? Risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of Gentile, also greet the church that is in, what? Their house. So their house, they have a people meeting there. And God was strengthening Paul by this company of faithful believers. And, you know, God is really a wonderful encouragement. He understands what we need. He understands what you need. He understands who you have to meet, who God sent you in order for you to be restored, for you to be faithful, come back and refreshed. And God uses people like us today. So, this is just a suggestion. Share your encouragement to our website. if you like what Pastor John, there were so many weeks people said, Pastor John, that was a great message. It really spoke to my heart. And that person spends a lot of time in Facebook and Instagram. And if you're putting, you know, a lot of pictures and the video to the Instagram or the Facebook, if you have time to do that, why don't you share your thoughts in our website, in our church website, freedomriver.net, and go to the messages, their comment section. Anybody could leave a comments there, but I don't see anyone who's doing that. So share your thoughts. It really encourages, you know, us preachers to do that. When you hear what God used to spoke to your heart, and it really motivated us. Sometimes, you know, we preachers, we need encouragement too, you know? Amen? Amen. Don't look at me like that. Amen? All right. Okay. All right. And Isaiah 43, this is for you. And I believe when I was preparing this message, God spoke to me through these verses, Isaiah 43. And let me give you a few verses. This is what God is saying about you. This is God is saying to you today. Right now. Can you read this? Let's all read this together. Can we start? But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Amen. 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 This is what God is saying to you. It's not going to touch you. Whatever your concern, whatever you're going through, yes, that one that you're just thought of in your heart, yeah, it's not going to touch you. God says, it will not scorch you. God is God of encouragement. He's speaking to you today, right? And when Silas and Timothy, verse 5, down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word. You see? See, he was not devoting completely to the ministry until then. Why? Because he was working, making tents during the weekdays, right? But when Silas and Timothy came, he was able to now. He was able to, just like in Acts 2, remember the apostles were devoting a lot of, you know, a lot of things that caring for the widows, and they were doing that, but so they selected 7 deacons to do that, remember? And they were, so that they can really continue to really pour out their efforts into prayer and words. This is what apostles do. God provided Paul so that he can stop making tents and devoted his time to the ministry. And Paul started to see fruits of ministry. Verse 7, Corinthian church began. But It says the Lord spoke personally to Paul. You know, Paul did not know what to do. He says, all right, verse 6 to 7 and through 11. When they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garment and said to them, your blood be on your own hands. See, he's devoting his time and he's doing really a lot more ministry. He's really preaching hard and you think there will be a result? Oh yeah, he got the result. And they resisted and blasphemed. That's what they did. And he got upset. Your blood be on your own heads. I'm clean from now on. I will go to Gentiles. That he sounds a little angry, doesn't he? Right? I'm done. I'm done with the Jews. Right? I'm gonna go to Gentiles. They accept. You know, they're ready to accept the word. And verse 7, what happened? Then he left there and went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. And this is very interesting. Whose house was, what? Next to the synagogue. He didn't go that far. He didn't go that far. He said, I'm done with the Jews, and I'm going to go to Gentile. And then next met, he met Gentile, but his house was right next to synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. And this is one of the men who Apostle Paul baptized. He says, except with Gaius and Crispus, I thank God that I did not baptize any one of you, right? So this is one of the person, and through him, Corinthian church began. And the Lord says to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I'm with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. What did he say? Do not be afraid any longer. Yeah. When I read that, it doesn't look like Apostle Paul was afraid in any of the incidences. I don't think he was afraid. You know, it sounds like he was not afraid in the Philippi or Macedonia or in Galatia. But God is saying, do not be afraid any longer. Yeah. In his heart, he was afraid. Don't we do that? Yes. So when we have a doubt, Lord, I know you are God of Israel. I know you are my God. I know I'm not afraid. Lord, my chains are broken. When we got so excited and we got tears coming into coming out of our eyes. And why is that? Because we are afraid, because we have a doubt. When that happens, God speaks to Paul, do not be afraid any longer. God understands his heart. God understands. You know, isn't that incredible how God does this? He does this again in chapter 27 when he was captured and being brought to Rome. And he settled there. After he hears, you know, remember the Athens, he didn't stay that long. Berea, he didn't stay that long. But in Corinth, he stayed there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And verse 12 and on, and it says, after a good while later. So a lot of us think, some people think that Paul was there a year and a half, but a probably better version of it, he's probably there for like 2 years, right? Because he stayed there a good while longer after this year and 6 months and teaching the word of God among them. So Corinth was a sinful city, full with debauchery. People were corrupt in every level. They were corrupt official. Like today's, if I translate today's word, there were corrupt cops, corrupt politicians. There were people who were immoral. There were brothel house everywhere. There were gangs everywhere. And when I look up the word Sin City in the United States, they counted how many gangs. Like New York came up because there were gangs in every level. In Los Angeles came up because of their pornography industries, and they're, you know, and these things happen. They're going on right in front of us, and I think Tacoma is not that far behind, right? There were corruptions in our cities. There were corruption in Seattle. There were corruption everywhere we go. And when I see it, it really breaks our heart. When I drive through the Seattle, I see all those tents on the, you know, right by the highway. It really breaks our hearts. And I ask God, Lord, When is the day of the Lord coming? Right? When will you settle this? Because I know the settling score is coming. I know the day is coming. And Bible says, Lord said to Paul in the night, remember this time he has one believer, one family, Crispus. Right? After he got so upset and he found a man finally who's receiving the word of God, who's faithful, and he's a like what we call it, a core member of the church, became a core member of a Corinthian church, and the church began, right? And they were believing and being baptized, and he stayed there for a year and 6 months. So God was encouraging Paul with a full-time ministry, and he says, do not stop preaching. That's what he said, right? I think there's a reason why he said that. Remember, he was depressed. He was sick, right? Probably going through his ailment. I am so tired. I am so, people are chasing me. People are hating me. I don't see any fruit. And I'm here all by myself, right? What am I doing, Lord? He's probably saying, Lord, I'm really weak. I don't even have a strength. I ask, I'm praying for you. You don't deliver this ailment from me. You said, what's going on, Lord? Maybe I should stop this. You think the thought crossed his mind? Yes. I think it did. And God, that's why God says, don't stop. Don't stop. What an encouragement that word. Hearing that from God himself. He says, don't stop. You're doing great things. When I hear that, that's why I'm asking you. That's why I'm asking you your encouragement, like to the websites, to the people. When you come, when you receive the word from the Lord, go ahead and speak out. Yes, you, speak out. I'm just nobody. Don't think like that. I know we are created in his image, right? We don't think, no Freedom River Outreach church member think that way. I'm nobody, right? You don't think, nobody thinks that like that, right? All right. Now you guys begin to worry me. All right. I know we don't think like that. I know you are just humble. I know you are just like that. I know that. But speak out. Go ahead. Go against your personality. Speak out. Right? Speak out. Don't share your thoughts just to your friends in Facebook. Speak out. Share your thoughts on the website. Share your thoughts with the pastor. Share your thoughts and your Lord. Lord spoke to me personally. Share that thought. That will encourage everybody. A lot of people going through the same thing. They will. And this is what happens, right? God sent Paul a vision when he did not know what to do. Remember, he was in Troas. He said the Holy Spirit of God stopped him from going to Asia Minor. He wanted to go back to Asia to strengthen the churches and to do all the things. And Holy Spirit says, don't go. What am I going to do? Then show me something. And God did, man of Macedonia. And he comes to Paul in a vision. He comes to you in a dream through a spiritual people. God still does this the same thing. He still does this. He still do this, right? And God said more vision in chapter 27, in the middle of the storm. Here, this is really, it will bless your heart. If you listen to me in the beginning of when we were doing the Acts, I'd ask you to read the chapter, entire Acts in one sitting. Remember, we can do this in probably in an hour. And chapter 27, in the middle of the storm, Apostle Paul, all his three missionary journeys are done. He got captured. He was imprisoned. He's going to before Caesar, the top dog of the entire world, Rome's, right? He's appearing before Caesar. He's a prisoner. He's in the ship, and the storm came. Would you be, if that was you, would you be a little bit scared? You are in chain. That back then, it's prisoner is a different concept than today's. Being in jail, you're just in an orange suit and eating a good food, right? But at that time, no, you are in shackle. You're not treated. You're not a human being. And on top of that, there's a storm. I think he was afraid of his life, right? And verse 23 says, "For very night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood before me." Whew. When I read that, my heart just filled with such a warmth. Angel of the Lord stood by me and said, "Don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men. I believe, God, that it will turn out exactly as I have been told." Lord spoke to Paul. And God still does the same thing. He will speak to you. He will talk to you. We serve God who never leaves us, never forsake us. God speaks to you today. I know God speaks through this message too. Paul was available, and God, when he was just available, remember the Pastor John was willing, and God took him everywhere, right? Look how God is using him today. All he did was, "Lord, I'm willing to be willing." He didn't even answer yes. He said, "I'm willing." Oh, okay. All right. And are you discouraged? It says, God wants to really restore you today. In Isaiah 41, it says, "You are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God." This is what God is saying. Don't be anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Then peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 He says, "I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Says Paul, having remained, verse 18 says, "Many days longer took leave of brethren there and put out to sea for Syria. And with him were what? Priscilla and Aquila." There you go. Priscilla and Aquila. Not Aquila and Priscilla. Priscilla and Aquila. There you go. And Priscilla and Aquila. And they were ministering with Paul at Ephesus. They went. Paul was so happy. They were become like bonded. They were so together. Say, Paul took Aquila and Priscilla and Aquila with him in Ephesus. They moved with Paul to Ephesus. And this is what I wanted to ask you, right? This is what, and I'm done, really, I'm done. And I know I'm 3 minutes past, but I think so far I'm pretty good. Yeah. All right, look, I was kind of rushed to get to this point, and I know that there's some baseball player, like first up African-American, I think Jackson, he's a baseball player. Jackie Robinson, that's it, Jackie Robinson. He was standing, and the first time when he appeared on the game, everybody was sneering at this Jackie Robinson. Everybody was saying racial things to him. And captain of the team went up to him and put his arm around his shoulder. Yeah? Captain of the team. And that stopped all the sneering. You think Jackie Robinson was encouraged? Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. So it's amazing what you can do. It's amazing what you can do when you are available and willing. It's amazing what kind of people God will bring before your eyes. Yes, absolutely right. And it'll probably say, "Oh, I should." When you are able to see that's going on, you will hear. If you just be attentive, if you just be available and willing to do whatever it is God has placed in your heart, and say, God will say, "Talk to this person, give him encouragement." Amen. And when that happens, speak up. So it doesn't matter. At that point, it doesn't matter what your personality is like. Because God will do the same thing to you. There's so many times in my life, and there's still to this day, there are still some people don't like me. I wonder why, you know? I ask God, why in the world would anybody don't like me? I don't have an answer for that. But there are things happening in your life that you don't understand what's going on. But God has an answer for that. Look around. You might have there might be a person knocking at your door and right in front of you saying what God just brought that message to your step. Be willing. Be willing and available to be used by God. Let's all stand. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the message of you. So, Lord, thank you for the vision. Thank you for the dream. Thank you for the word of God that is speaking to each and every day of our lives. Father, without it, we cannot survive. Holy Spirit, we invited you, and thank you for being here. You're speaking to people's heart. There are some of us who are discouraged, some of us who are down and out, some of us who felt like they lost out, they missed out. Father, you are speaking to that person right now. I am your God. Surely with my right hand I will uphold you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You are mine. I am your God. I have died in your place. I have shed my blood for you. I have given you my flesh. I have given you my only begotten Son. I love you so much. Don't be afraid. I am your God. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Thank you for being with us. I am available, Lord. Use me anywhere you can, anywhere you want. I am available. I am willing. We are all willing. Thank you for the encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. And all church people say, amen. 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 God bless you. Amen.